folks, it's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We'll be talking about it. The theme for today under the cover of COVID, Trump and his enablers, and what, in other words, all the things the administration has been doing, which all the coverage of the virus has kind of obscured. Mike Cosentino is here in the studio.
Oh, yeah. We're going to talk about how real freedom, real constitutional rights aren't infringed by protecting you. You're not living in fear if you're wearing a mask. We're talking about censorship by the Trump administration of all the really good advice of the CDC, how real freedom is being able to know where you can go and what to do in each and every case. That's what you get from the CDC. That's what the Trump administration is censoring. There's a 68-page report that gives you guidelines, that tells you exactly what to do in every situation in the face of these are the kinds that we'll get a little more detail later on in the show. But those, and then we're going to talk about Trump's enablers. We're going to talk about Trump's lawyers. He's got 40 of them, but we're going to talk about four of them. We're going to talk about Giuliani. We're going to talk about Dershowitz. We're going to talk about Pam Bondi and one or two others. These are the guys that make it possible for this fascist regime to operate the way they do.
And we have Klaus von Stutterheim. Klaus, are you there? You're calling in from...
I'm here.
From home. And Klaus is going to keep an eye on us, and if we get off subject or if he's got some additional facts or information, he's going to come in and talk. So we have this massive coverage of the COVID virus. It has to happen. Under the cover of all this stuff, the Trump administration has produced more deregulation of the environment, a whole series of nasty environmental things. Trump has continued firing the IGs of different departments. The latest is the IG of the State Department, who there's been a lot of complaints about Pompeo a year ago that he was misusing staff to do personal errands, walk his dog, that kind of thing, which is illegal. I mean, you're supposed to, if you got a guy, you got supposed to do it yourself, or you hire somebody to do it. You don't use federal employees to do your private work. And so that IG, and IGs are the investigative groups. In other words, each department has an IG and an IG staff, where they check for corruption in the department, for problems, for conflicts of interest, for any kind of dishonorable behavior of any kind. And that's what they do. And Trump has fired now four of them, I believe. And the reason is, of course, if you're a charlatan and a fraud, and you're used to making up stuff and convincing people to believe you, because Trump's original career was feeding people on greed and pride, get a fancy apartment, get a fancy name building, so forth and so on. Now he's using mostly fear. But he's a dangerous demagogue, and he's been very, very active. So you see in the Trump administration, and Mike's going to talk about what he did to the CDC, right, Mike, is that he has been systematically destroying independent information and independent people in the government. He has to. He's a fraudster. He doesn't even keep track of the facts. He makes up new charges all the time. And logically, he really kind of has to do this to survive, because that's kind of who he is. So So we're going to have blame China for the virus, and I'm not sure the Chinese behaved particularly well, and they didn't create the virus and all that sort of charges. Some of his people are extreme in the way they talk about China. I mean, they really hate China. So the thing is, so we have a whole pattern of blaming other people. The most preposterous lately is to blame Obama, because Obama criticized him sort of without using his name, Mike. And so now he's trying to blame Obama for this and talking about the corruption of the Obama administration. If you remember, folks, no one was indicted in the Obama administration. There was not this pattern of firing major people constantly.
Well, we're talking about a total hollowing out of the federal government, where heads and subheads and anybody who's effective at all in doing the job of whatever department it is, and let's take the CDC since that's the most important right now. We're hollowing out the Center for Disease Control. He's preventing science. He's preventing science from doing what it does best, giving detailed information and then letting policymakers make decisions from knowledge instead of ignorance. He doesn't want that knowledge. He doesn't want people to know. And certainly, so this is a crime against humanity, folks. I'm sorry. I know that sounds a little strong, but it's not. When you're preventing life-saving information coming from your agency that's tasked with doing that, the Centers for Disease Control, this is what they're supposed to do, and this is what they do very, very, very well, he suppressed so much information. But one of the things he suppressed that was the 68-page report on exactly how to behave, what to look for, how to handle the virus as an everyday person, as a business owner. That's the report that was killed.
Why did the new head of the CDC?
Because it was too restrictive. The Dow was up 700 points today, so he's absolutely right. The new report that's been released is so unrestrictive. The bloodsuckers on Wall Street see it coming back. See that businesses are going to be 100% again. Now, the second wave and the second wave of a virus doesn't matter. They're betting on, I guess. I wouldn't know because the science isn't there. They're betting on the warmer temperatures.
The science in the past, Mike, is that the second wave, for example, in the terrible virus in 1918 that killed millions and millions of people,
Much
more deadly than this virus. The second wave, Mike, killed more people than the first
wave. That's right.
So there you
one
go.
One of the reasons the 1920s, the 100 years ago pandemic was worse, was because they didn't do what we're doing. And so this is the two-edged sword. If you follow the guidelines and less people die or get sick, then people there's more impetus. Well, it's fake news. It's not real. It's okay. We don't have it here. That's New York. That's Seattle. That's Miami. We don't have to worry here.
The other thing that's interesting, Mike, is that history is not fair. The virus that killed so many people in 1918 was called the Spanish flu.
Yeah.
The reason it's called the Spanish flu is that the French and the Germans lied about the flu spreading through their soldiers. And Spain, which was neutral, reported the flu. So they were the first people to become. So the flu gets named after them because they were the only people who came forward and started talking about the flu and what it was doing.
Find an interview with Kathleen Sebelius, the head of the CDC, about 10 years ago. And she puts in great detail what the Trump administration's censorship is doing to the American people and to American businesses by not giving them the information they need. The new opening guidelines released by the CDC today or yesterday is it's not science based. It is based on politics. And that's what's happening. So they're willing to sacrifice any number of lives. That the ultimate projection by, once again, science is 147,000 dead Americans. We're about 88 now.
Almost, yeah, heading toward 90. Yeah.
We're at 90, I think.
Yeah. Maybe Klaus is right. He's probably seen the latest stuff. 90. So, we're at 90,000.
So, I mean, and we're throwing these numbers around of dead people and not counting pain and suffering. I want to kind of interject in here. We had one of our family die, and I'm going to say indirectly. There was an article in the New York Times. Doctors aren't seeing their sick people because you're afraid to go to the hospital because of the coronavirus. Michael Weiser, candidate against Gosar in our district more than once, died of a massive heart attack on Tuesday. And
you'd say he was a really sort of lovable guy.
He was an extremely lovable guy. He was.
You might not agree with some of his politics, but he was really genuine, Mike.
Yeah. Well, it was just that he might light up a joint during your conversation, yeah. No matter where you were. But other than that, but he also was the president of Normal. He was the president of Arizona's outfit that's trying to get marijuana legalized. Many, many, many people agree with this. But the point is, he had pains, and I don't know well enough that he didn't go to the hospital because of COVID-19. But I do know that many people don't go to the hospital now, or the doctor, because of COVID-19. They're putting it on. The article in the New York Times said, "Where are my patients?" This is America, so we have people that have to go to the ER for routine treatments to stay alive, because that's the way we deal with sick
people. Let's talk about the statistics, of 90,000 deaths, because that's based on reported confirmed deaths. That rate, the number keeps going up, even if they're not new cases, because they go back and discover that it's COVID that then people in. The other thing that's really disturbing, Mike, is that the number of reported COVID cases and the number of deaths beyond the normal mortality. In other words, they measure these things really cold-heartedly, folks. So, and I'll give you just a phony thing. 250 people died a day in New York City. And then suddenly you get statistics where 450 people are dying, but your COVID confirmed cases are only like 90. We may be underestimating, Mike, the number of people who are dying because of the excess mortality. In other words, the mortality of some of these cities, states, and countries really is running quite a bit higher than it should. Now, some countries like Germany, it hasn't. The mortality rate that they're measuring has not been higher. But that's disturbing that we've even got a hand on how much damage this thing has done.
Well, that's the intent. Oregon had a zero death day yesterday.
Yeah.
So things like that, when that kind of news gets out, everything else gets forgotten. And I hope it's true. I don't want to be the guy that causes my favorite restaurant to go out of business. I don't want to be I want to be the voice that keeps commerce from happening. However, I don't want to see people's children and their parents and grandparents die in isolation because they have COVID-19. I mean, one of the saddest parts of this virus is that nobody can get near you once you have it. So many people recently when they can set up cameras, but it's still not the same as
We have a friend who was isolated for a long time because he got pneumonia early in the
This is the danger of the Trump administration's hollowing out the CDC, hollowing out the inspector generals, also, getting rid of anybody that doesn't agree with them.
I want to talk about EPA.
There's another aspect to Trump's attitude, right? Trump doesn't like testing. because testing, you know, only increases the number.
That's right. Makes us look bad.
You said publicly that it really is opposed to testing because it just makes, quote, it makes us look bad. So he's not interested in the truth. He's only interested in statistics that hopefully will, if not help him, at least not hurt him.
Let's talk a bit about the EPA. All the time of the Trump administration, they have removed 100 or in the process of removing 100 EPA restrictions and stuff. And the federal government, actually, the people who do the statistical analysis can tell you that if you allow so many fine particles in the air, as Trump administration undid Obama's limiting of these fine particles. Fine particles are particularly deadly to the lungs, folks. And they calculate that like 1,200 people will die a year from the change in these, from destroying. Mike's talking about the CDC and the virus, but he's in a process of repealing regulation that kill people. Now, the thing is that, you know, if it's 1,200 people scattered mostly over the country, then nobody seems to know or care.
That's right. That's the same thing with the virus, too. And that's what he's hoping for. Fox News was, there was a guest on Fox News. I'm sorry, I don't remember his name. But he said, if they came to me and said, would you die to keep the economy going? He said, We need our senior citizens to agree with that. Yeah, I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
we need you to agree to die for the economy. They said this would be a sacrifice that senior citizens would be willing to make. Now, in what I saw, a whole bunch of grandmas.
I am not enthusiastic about this.
A whole bunch of grandmas got on video and they said, you know what? I'm not willing to die. I got all of this I want to do. I'm still working. I'm still a productive member of society. And even if I wasn't, I want to see my grandchildren think I'm cool. The insanity of targeting this segment of the population to die for the economy is so. If we're at 88,000, we're at 90,000, and we're headed to 147. At least,
Mike.
So we're talking about 50,000 more grandmas and grandpas, but that's not. But we've got 8-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 23-year-olds. The virus has no heart. It has no age limit. Yes, the studies, and we're just learning about it. It would be really nice if the science was widespread. We're just learning. It's not just people with health conditions. There's something else that causes, and then there's the second wave in children. Yeah. The second, there is morphed into some new disease that's
this is the bizarre virus, Mike. And
would be nice if we knew about it, wouldn't it?
Well, we have to learn about it. It is new. It is a novel COVID virus. It is something we had never seen before, and our scientists had never seen it, and our doctors had never seen it. And it's taking a while to figure out. There are a group of drugs now that can actually help. You notice that Trump stopped talking about his anti-malaria drugs because they cause heart problems. And so the end of
he is talking about a vaccine.
He pushed those things. Now there are actually some stuff coming along, some cocktails of drugs that can reduce its severity of this. So the scientists are beginning to figure out how to treat it. They can't cure it. Right. There's no, and so far, the whole world is trying to come up with a vaccine.
Yeah, but it's all political. Trump will talk about a vaccine 50 times a day. Starting in May,
yeah.
And there won't be a vaccine. I mean, even close to.
No, you're absolutely
but
right.
But he's talking about because it's all political because of the election.
For Trump, everything is about Trump, and everything is about Trump looking good. And this is literally true. Everything is about him. Almost nobody else exists. His whole response to the virus, oh, there's 15 people who have it, and then he's told people, and that's going to die out, and there's going to be nobody in the United States with the virus. He will say anything that he thinks will benefit him in his reelection, anything at all. And he's used to in his career in building of not getting caught, or the people who complain are little people who he can walk all over.
One of the places you want to go for information, folks, is the Project on Government Oversight, POGO, Project on Government Oversight. And they had a recent, actually it was February, article on Trump's lawyers, on his enablers. So how is he able to do this? How is he able to sign all of these presidential declarations? How is he able to wield so much power and change a country so dramatically in the course of one administration, from denying science, from how was it possible to have a president killing Americans or being the cause of American death and not have at least government oversight and not have a Senate, not have a House?
He's been willing to push the limit of powers. The unscrupulousness that he approaches everything, he simply has no scruple. And that makes him fast. People, sociopaths, Mike,
that's
are faster
right.
than you and I.
That's
because
right.
we think about, is this right or wrong?
That's
or
right.
should, is,
that's
this,
right.
is this true or not true?
Right.
You got a guy who doesn't care about that. He says, is this good for me or bad for me?
That's right.
That's all,
there's no
all that matters. There. It's an on-off switch, basically.
And what I'm talking about in this POGO article, Project on Government Oversight, a nonpartisan, gets money from both sides, by the way. They looked at all the president's lawyers. And these are the guys that enable him to be able to do the things that he does. Giuliani is almost an old story, but you haven't heard much from him lately. He's still acting on behalf of the president and probably being paid by someone else. Why is it so bad? At the top of this, you want to say, why is it bad that the president has private lawyers? Because they operate out of the sight of the people. If the president of the United States is doing all sorts of things, we should know about them.
But he's doing, not only is he using private lawyers to do things that should be done by officials who have some accountability. You know, if the ambassador to Ukraine had actually been doing something fishy and bad, there's a way to control her. There's a way to do it. Instead, we have an administration that's all about him and all about his needs.
But
his
least
needs, Mike, are to feel good about everything about himself every single day.
Yeah,
every
I
single
can't tell
minute.
You how tired I am of analyzing Trump. This bores me to death. But Dershowitz registered as a lobbyist. Pam Bondi at least registered as a lobbyist. Giuliani never registered as a lobbyist. So it's one thing to have the president's private lawyers be registered lobbyists, and it's another thing to have one acting like a registered lobbyist and not be.
I do disagree with Mike, and I think we really, and I'll go to you, Klaus, is I think we really do have to explain to people and repeat and understand what we're dealing with in Trump, because he's a real rarity in American politics and history. There's no one who has been this utterly unscrupulous, I think, in the United States history. Klaus, what did you have? What was your contribution? We did want you to talk here.
Well, one of the phenomena that we haven't talked about, but that is absolutely striking, are the people who are protesting against the lockdown. And they're violating all of the rules. They don't wear masks. They're much closer together than 6 feet, and they're rebelling in various places. And Trump cheers them on. And what will inevitably happen is that a lot of those people will become affected. And the whole idea of opening the country so quickly just to get the economy going could backfire in a very major way, because, that's what would create the second wave, right?
Well, we want the country to open as quickly as possible, safely, right? We want the economy going again. We want people working again. We want it done as safely as possible.
That is clearly not happening. And the other thing that's sort of ironic and interesting is that the people who are demonstrating for, quote, freedom, they seem to be, at least from the pictures, all Republicans, and not just Republicans, but right-wing Republicans. They're armed. They carry sometimes swastikas. It's really quite bizarre.
So well, that, there's also being funded, Klaus.
That the virus has become a political issue, right, where the Democrats advocate caution, and the Republicans saying, no, let's get full speed ahead, and we'll see if anybody dies.
It is strange that the virus, which is so non-political and fundamentally a public health issue, a policy issue that should be decided, it's been turned into a partisan thing. I interrupted you a little bit. What I was going to say is that they found extreme right-wing groups have been funding a lot of these protests and stuff. And you understand why people are frustrated with being shut down and not able to do the things they're used to do. You can't do this. You can't do that. I mean, the shutdown is frustrating. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't go to the studio and do ceramics, so forth and so on. So it's frustrating for everybody. But to get a demonstration against rules that are there to protect you, which are in fact fairly modest, seems to be a function of this extreme policy. And then we have, as Klaus said, you know, Trump cheering everybody on who's going against his own orders.
Well,
if you compare it to Germany, you know, which is a country that doesn't have this American thing, freedom, government can tell me anything, but I'm more... believe more that their government is actually doing good things, has a death rate that is a third of what we have.
Yes.
But they're disciplined, right?
Yes.
So
they really got to the virus quick. It never hit Germany the way it did France and Spain. France didn't get on it quick enough. They had good rules once they got on it. Spain, I guess, was ambushed. They didn't really see it coming until it had gotten out of control. And everybody understands when we say it expands exponentially. You can go on the internet, folks, and see the pattern. Exponential expansion, whether it's a disease or anything else, is really scary in terms of how quickly things can get out of control. So you could have one guy going to New York. If it's not stopped, if he keeps circulating, you end up with thousands of people with the disease. It's a function of almost mathematical.
Well, that's it. You have these powers working against each other. You have all these, like Klaus said, the demonstrators and the people, the workmen coming into my house telling me about how their rights have been restricted by that this is unconstitutional. On the other hand, you have all these other people working tirelessly to save them, to disinfect everything, to require masks in a lot of places, and all of these steps, scientific steps, to keep them from hurting themselves. And I guess maybe that's America. It's the same way, you know, we know we should wear a seatbelt. We know they say
we don't want to.
But we don't want to, and we don't. I mean, and so on. So it's so I guess it's an American right to put others, to risk others' lives and your life for that matter, and nobody should get in the way of that, and that's the way people feel. If I die, I die.
That's what they say until they get the virus.
Oh, absolutely. Then they'll be the first one to sue a business for not wiping off a hand.
In fact, there's a lot of, you talk about suits, there's a lot of lawsuits coming from people like the Goldwater Institute. All the libertarians are trying to break down the power and ability of government to do things. They think it's freedom. They call it freedom, but they're breaking down the ability of government to protect us. So one of the things I think I'll ask Mike about is that some people are saying, Mike, that despite Obama's attempt to establish government, the Republicans have hollowed out the American government so it no longer is first rate. The CDC is great, but it's not the best in the world anymore. Our universities, the research funds, are not going as much into diseases and stuff. We've actually lost it. All this anti-government funding, anti-government spending, making fun of science is costing us dearly in the world.
Yes, a prideness in stupidity, a prideful stupidity is what we have. One of the things that's been rearing its head is the 25th Amendment again. 25th Amendment is when you are unable to, when a president is unable to discharge his duties, there's a mechanism in the Constitution that he be replaced. I believe that Trump has clearly demonstrated his inability to discharge his duties as president during the coronavirus. I think a case could be made for that very easily, that his inaction, his denial, we can go through, you know, forget February and forget March when he denied when he said all of these inaccurate things about the virus. This is a demonstration of an inability to discharge his duties that has caused the death of Americans. Let's add that.
But Mike, been competent. He's been incompetent for the whole time. You could if you look. They'll never do this. I hear you about the amendment and all that, taking him out of power. He's kind of crazy, and they're trying to manage him, and they spent the whole last almost 4 years trying to manage the guy and keep him from doing really, really even stupider things. But they'll never do it, Mike. I mean, he mismanaged everything from day one.
If we had a functioning government, the 25th Amendment would be applied to Trump. That's what I'm saying. If we had a functioning constitution, right now we have a guy, because of his incompetence, Americans are dying. Americans are suffering. We have a rampant pandemic that other countries have managed to control much better than the United States. Klaus was talking about Germany. We can mention other, even on an individual state basis, where they were willing to bite the bullet and not get the economy back too soon. They have managed it better than this guy. We need a central, we need a federal information source, we need federal materials. All of these things would have made the whole virus, we're talking about the whole pandemic, much less impactful. Fewer people would, and folks, the numbers, and I don't throw around 88, 90, and 147,000. Each one of those people is somebody's grandmother that should have every day that they got coming. And I don't, if it's a sick or a healthy 44-year-old, they should get every day they get. Nobody sacrifices for an economy.
I think, you know, that. The problem is not really Trump, is that the libertarians and the Republicans have been hollowing out the American government and the ability of the American government
to do things. You like that word, don't you? You like that hollowing out term.
I think it's a good one, Mike. And I was reading, or I was, you know, I didn't read seriously, but I thought, yeah, they've got a point. We've hit the virus. We have not done very well. And I mean, Germany is a great place to compare us to, because that's one end of the spectrum and we're part of the other. You know, we got the most cases of the virus in the world. I think that the Republicans and this anti-government stuff, which has some validity, a lot of times there is overreach by the government, Mike. But I think this whole anti-government, anti-federal government thing that's been going on for decades has made our government weak so that it can't handle and do this. If you want to ask, did Trump ever do anything right? Probably the only thing he did sort of right was ban travel from China. Only we find out they left 45,000 people in after he put down the so-called ban.
So
if it had actually been a ban, it wouldn't have been that bad an idea.
So was his acquittal in the impeachment, has it emboldened him to be the kind of non-leader, to be the horrible cause of suffering and death that he is today? Would he have behaved differently if he had not been acquitted? Has it emboldened him to be this incredible dictator that he is now?
That he would have gone on, and I don't think he's changed his ways. At this point, of course, we have to also figure in the fact that he's in a panic, right?
He's in a panic, I think you're right, because the election's not looking good for him. And I don't know, Klaus, it's such a complicated thing about it, but it's certainly, look, the Democrats proved without a reason, beyond a reasonable doubt, that he did exactly what they said he did.
Right.
And you could argue, if you were a Republican, that he did all that stuff, but it didn't rise to the level of impeachment. That's a reasonable argument. It's a wrong argument, but it's a reasonable one. No, they proved he did it. And when he got off, it re-energized him, particularly in terms of vengeance against agencies and anybody he thinks is disloyal. He thinks the government belongs to him.
All right, well, let's talk about that. Are we going to have an election? Is he going to interfere with the election?
I don't think so. I don't think that's possible.
That's nice, Klaus. That's nice. Have some more soup and go to bed. Of course he's going to interfere with the election. It could because it's not going well for him. Why would he behave any differently? You think he respects this election? You think he respects the rule of law? No, he's going to interfere with the election. That's going
to
happen.
There are limits to what he can do, even though he doesn't have any particular limit. I'm sort of with Klaus. I'm not saying he won't try to do anything, but messing with a government election, there's some talk where his son-in-law has been talking about postponing the election, Mike. Things like this are very worrisome. But I don't think in the end he's going to be able to do that. I mean,
The Constitution says very clearly when the election is. I mean, it's not, maybe or under certain circumstances. It's very, there's no doubt when the election is, right?
I think they can move the election, or they've certainly Kushner has put out this thing where he's talked about not holding an election because of the virus. Now, emergency powers
did
of the presidency.
On that too, Brad.
I'm sorry? Go ahead.
He did a quick withdrawal. The next day he said, no.
They will withdraw. And Trump's withdrawn some of his worst things when he got a lot of pressure. So he is responsive if there's enough pressure on him. You can push back on Trump's things, and you can push back trying to manipulate the. Give me your argument for his ability to manipulate the election, Mike.
Well, one of the things, because he has 40 lawyers, we're only seeing because we are only seeing. A little bit. We don't know what we don't know. So I can't give you the argument because Trump's got 40 lawyers who are private lawyers whose information I can't get to as an American citizen, whose information the House can't get, whose information the Senate can't get, whose information the press can't get. If you don't have those things, you don't have a functioning government. You certainly don't have a functioning democracy anymore. So I can't. Am I thinking that there's a billionaires right now deciding whether the United States should continue, whether Trump should stay in power because it's good for them? Yeah, I'm thinking that's I'm adding my conspiracy theory to the other conspiracy theories.
I don't believe that at all, Mike. I what worries me is more Trump loses the election and he claims the election was fraudulent.
Of course.
And then we're thrown into
a given
situation.
That's a given. So now tell me.
So people say, will he actually leave power? I think he'll leave power. I think he could, if he uses a lot of rhetoric to claim the election is fraudulent and he goes,
he
and
will
even
do
if he
that.
Accepts the election in the end, because people tell him, hey, we're going to get you if you don't. Even in the end, it's going to be disruptive. It's undercutting the whole idea of American democracy.
All right, is Trump making a deal with Biden right now not to prosecute him? I saw a headline yesterday that Biden says, I will not pardon Trump. And we know that headlines don't mean doodly squat in America.
I don't think he'll pardon. We saw what happened when they pardoned Nixon. The next thing, Nixon is trotting around, going on talk shows and writing a bestseller.
But that's the deal. And that's the deal being
high
made.
Life.
Trump is saying, if you don't pardon me, I'm going to mess with the election and I'm going to call
him. I would call him on that.
I mean,
messing with the election is like a – now – I'm not saying it's not, he won't do anything, Mike, because we see the Republicans constantly trying to use gerrymandering, use attacking people's ability to vote, trying to use voter suppression to control the election. But there's a lot of pushback against that. No, but there's a lot of pushback against that. And what I would
but
say
But it's successful. Obama knew that in the 2008 and 2012 election, he had to win by at least 5% because there's going to be 5% suppression at least in, of his vote, not theirs.
I don't know if I would agree with that. That was what I have to look at. But certainly voter suppression is a serious issue. The problem really, folks, and you can – I'm even – understand is that demographically, you know, older white people are becoming more and more a minority in the country. The young people really don't buy, they're not voting, but they don't really buy into these Republican values. Most young people want a nice, strong government that protects the United States, protects them. Look at all these billions of unneeded money we're spending on the military, and then we weren't prepared, Mike, for a virus that killed 150,000 Americans. We lost 30,000 guys plus in the Vietnam War.
Yeah. Well, people are asking that question.
And we weren't prepared for this.
Yeah.
And Trump, what he did was he didn't dissolve the people who monitor the rise of virus. He just stuck them off so they couldn't have any voice.
Right. Well, that's
the Obama administration actually left the blueprint on how to deal with a pandemic. And he threw all of that out.
Yes, yeah. Biden says we left him a playbook, and he destroyed it. He using the term one more time, he hollowed it out. He fired everybody. He did it to save money. He did it at the bidding of the Koch brothers, at least according to some articles. In other words, you're wasting money by having all of these this pandemic preparedness stuff going on.
And they've cut the funding to the CDC for years, to all to the EPA, all the agencies that protect the American people, and they've cut the funding deliberately. This is not Trump. This is a Republican Party, and I understand that they don't want to waste money. None of us want to waste money. And I know you can make fun of some of the scientific things that we do, but I guess we've got to wrap it up. We got 2 minutes, Mike. I can't go on and on.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I could go on and on.
So we want to talk about Trump's. We've talked about Trump's. And to summarize, we've talked about Trump's enablers, his lawyers, a little bit. I only mentioned the name of four of them, of the 40. But I didn't want to.
All right, Mike. We want the other.
I want to underline.
We want the other 36 right now.
I want to underline the problem of private lawyers doing the public's business is we don't get to know what's going on. So when people throw up their hands and say, well, they're going to do what they're going to do, they've been doing it for years. A, they haven't been doing it for years. And B, we don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they're doing in the name of our name, in the name of the American people. And that's the problem with Trump's enablers, not counting every Republican in the U.S. Senate that is also one of Trump's enablers. We talked about his censorship of the CDC and how it puts the American people in great danger because we don't have the information. We get the feel-good at Robert Redfield, the current head of the CDC, put out a feel-good report that sent the Dow Jones zooming, and that's exactly what Trump wanted. It has nothing to do with the science of the COVID-19 virus, and more people are going to suffer and die now. But there's a lot of effort going on to mitigate those numbers.
Yeah, there's a lot of progress in dealing with this new virus now. A lot of scientific progress, Mike. Not bullshit.
Yeah.
But we're really glad to be on the air again, aren't we, Mike? After being off and doing old shows for 5 weeks.
Don't forget, folks, find this show at bvid.org. We have our podcasts. Steve and I are going to start our own podcast. Tune in.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and our nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 a.m. news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.